This episode is brought to you by Hill's Pet Nutrition. Every shelter pet deserves a second chance, and you're making it possible for thousands of them every day. Because when you feed your pet Hill's, you help feed a shelter pet, which helps make them healthy, happy, and more adoptable, changing their life forever. So they can change yours. Over 14 million shelter pets fed and adopted. Science did that. Visit hillspet.com/podcast to learn more.
What are you playing here?
This is a new Beyonce.
Oh, this is Country Carter?
Yes, it is. Yes.
Cowboy Carter.
Cowboy Carter. Yeah. People are apparently mad at her about that. Good for her.
Why? Why are they mad?
Yeah. I mean, I've got a country playlist in my world.
Awesome.
I'm not a big country western fan, but I like country music, and yeah. I would put this
it's
on
her
there.
Version of country. It's awesome.
Yeah. Good for her. All right. Always take a call at 2 o'clock. If you were with us for Crosstalk today, you know, point of contention between Bergman and I is that I want to take a lot of calls. Greg doesn't want to take any. So as a compromise, and I'm going to be dead honest here. As a compromise, Greg said, okay, how about we take one call a day? We'll do it at 2 o'clock. And I said, fair enough. You didn't want any. I'll take the one. Most of the time, the calls aren't great.
Thank you for realizing that.
There was a couple last week that were like,
but ooh. We're gonna give Skip we're gonna give Skip and Placentia a shot today. Hey, Skip, you're on ESPN LA. Hi.
Hello. I wouldn't ask how you guys are doing.
Good.
But I've been trying to get in for a long while. It was a comment that Bergman made, so I'm so glad he's there today. And we were talking about, you guys had angels as a topic. Joe Madden came up, and it was, he said that people in Chicago did not even care for him. And I thought it was the most ludicrous statement in the world. They hadn't won in 108 years. I'm from just outside Chicago. They went crazy, if anybody remembers the 2016 World Series.
Yeah, and Greg, I will say this, and Skip, I will say this. I was under the impression that Joe Madden was very well liked there. Do you remember saying that?
Yes, I do, because I have talked to very, very many Chicago Cubs fans.
What didn't they like about him?
They hated him the next year. They wanted him gone the next year.
Do you remember why?
I don't remember exactly. I think it was something to do with the way he handled the pitching staff, just the way that his in-game management was really, really bad. They yelled at me, like, this guy's awful.
Okay, so Skip, here's where I'll meet kind of you two in the middle. I'm a big Joe Madden guy. I love having Joe on. We used to have him on when he's the bench coach of the Angels. He's a huge Springsteen guy. He's quirky, drives around. He manages Skip on hunches. He doesn't always do. The reason he didn't work for the Angels is he wouldn't listen to any of their analytics. He didn't want like a computer telling him what to do. He wanted to manage old school by feel. And so that's the clash. And I also think, Skip, it's the reason that he hasn't gotten another job, because all the managers now have to at least pretend that they'll listen to analytics, because the guys hiring them are spending a lot of money on analytics. Skip, does that make sense?
It does. I guess my point is, what happened after 2016, I might give Bergman a little, I'm not 100% sure. I just don't think he realizes how important that World Series was to true diehard fans. And I know, you know, being out here in LA, maybe you didn't see it, but that stadium not only full, the city going crazy. Thank the Lord they won before my dad had dementia, and thank God he was able to still be with us when they won and know what was going on, passed away shortly after. But people didn't care how he ran anything. Hell, pitchers could have dropped their arm on the mound just to win that World Series.
Right, to get over that curse. All right, thanks for the call, Skip. That wasn't a bad call. But I like Joe Madden. Oh, I would consider him if I was hiring a manager. But
so if you look over the last couple managers that have won World Series, it was Dusty Baker, who was he allowed everybody to do the whole analytics thing.
But he also did manage by feel a lot.
A lot of that too. Because he had that in him. And then Bruce Bochy was also an older guy as well.
That's actually a great example.
Yeah. So those are guys that it's not really so much about analytics in the postseason, and that's why we have so much hate. Not hate, but we get upset with Dave Roberts so much because he doesn't do as much by feel, and it's so analytically driven that it's like, okay, if you can't do that in the postseason.
Hey John, the numbers are in, the ratings are in.
Did they beat 14 million?
18.7 million viewers for Sunday's national championship game.
That's bigger than any game of the NBA Finals.
It peaked at 24 million.
Good for them.
That's crazy.
Good for them. Well, did you hear the story we had on Friday that a reporter for the LA Times went back and looked at what it would have cost if you and I would have gone, if the four of us, Laura, Greg, me, you, went last year, would have gone to the Sparks Indiana Fever game.
Okay.
Our tickets would have been $4 each. $16 for the four of us to go to the game. You know, really good deal, obviously.
Yeah.
This year, and keep in mind, Caitlin Clark hasn't even been drafted yet, but everybody knows she's going to Indiana. This year, and Cameron Brink, your girl from Stanford, is probably going to be playing for the Sparks. This year's game, you can already buy tickets for it. One ticket that was $4 last summer, $128.
Right.
$128.
Wow.
That's how much these people have done for this.
Okay,
so I mean, they have lightning in a bottle with these women.
This is the most watched basketball game, men's or women's, college or professional. So more than any NBA game in 5 years.
You know why? Because men will watch basketball no matter when it's on and who's playing.
Yeah.
But women, like Lisa, my wife, has little or no interest in women's basketball. She wanted to watch this.
Yeah.
She was into Caitlin Clark.
The 18.7 million viewers is 4 million more viewers than last year's men's national championship.
I bet you, Greg, that 18.7 beats the number that Purdue and UConn do tonight on the men's game.
I 100% fully agree with that.
Yeah.
You know why,
and it
right?
Should. Star effing driven town.
Stars. Yeah. There are stars.
And they were and by the way, stars who showed up and lived up to the hype. Caitlin Clark played great. Paige Beckers played great.
Yep.
That whole South Carolina team played great.
Yeah.
Caitlin Clark had 18 points in the first quarter.
Yeah. And you know, good for all of them. And oh, by the way, speaking of college basketball, the biggest story today, we haven't even hit it yet, is that John Calipari's leaving Kentucky to go to Arkansas. So I'm going to make a ridiculous suggestion that I know is ridiculous, and I want you to tell me if I'm being a little Pollyanna here.
Okay.
I have a feeling I might be. But you're Kentucky. Do you at least have a conversation with Dawn Staley?
Oh.
Or am I being too Pollyanna? She's 78-1 in her last two seasons. Last year, Greg, she lost five starters to the WNBA, reloaded, and went 38-0. I know there's never been a woman to lead a men's program, but if they're Kentucky is a top three job in college basketball. If there was, and this, guys, I just got to tell you, this is how things change.
Yeah.
Just interview her. Don't, even if you're not going to hire her, bring her in.
That's interesting.
Talk to her. Consider her for the job, and maybe she blows you away. And I think she's got the type of personality that might work with men. Am I pipe dreaming here, Bergman?
So, I mean, I'd love to say, no, you're not pipe dreaming, but I just don't think that she's going to go to a blue blood. I don't think someone like Kentucky, Duke, North Carolina, UCLA, Michigan State, those types of places will hire somebody like Dawn Staley. I just can't imagine. And by the way, Kentucky was the last school in the country to allow a black person to even play basketball.
But then they hired Tubby Smith, and he won a title.
Yeah, sure. So,
you know,
do you think they'd be the first one to hire a woman and a black woman? Just can't imagine that.
But think about it, they I know they have that legacy, and Adolph Rupp was kind of known as a racist.
Right.
But they later hired Tubby Smith, and he won a title there.
Yeah.
So I think they're past that. Momo, am I pipe dreaming?
Probably, because in a way it would be easier for her to get an NBA job than a college job. Like, college
by
is
the way,
all
the coach
about
of the
recruiting.
Year in the Coach of the Year in the G League is a woman.
Yeah, Lindsay Harding.
Yeah.
It's I think that was a big thing, actually, to coach a men's team all season long in the G League and to be Coach of the Year. She's the Sacramento Kings G League affiliate coach.
Yeah, they play in Stockton.
Yeah, she's been on NBA benches before. She's been
Lindsay Gottlieb, the USC coach, has been on NBA benches.
Yeah,
yeah.
And I think that in a way it's easier to make the transition to the pro game because you don't have to worry about recruiting. Like, right. You're not out there recruiting with AAU coaches and all the connections you would need. It doesn't translate quite as well.
It'll be interesting. If I was the AD at Kentucky, I mean, you're hearing a lot of names today.
Yeah.
Here's one I haven't heard, but this is the guy I would literally fly to his house tomorrow morning because he's working tonight. I would throw the moon at Jay Wright.
Yeah.
If I'm Kentucky.
Doesn't he want out? He doesn't want to coach anymore. Right? You're right. You should absolutely go after Jay Wright.
Jay Wright, to me, Greg, is like when the Dodgers went and got Andrew Friedman out of Tampa.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You know, Jay Wright at Villanova won two titles.
Yeah.
Villanova is a small school in Pennsylvania, and he won two titles and had him competing for the national championship every year. He's been out of the game for two or three years. I think he's like my age. I don't even think Jay Wright's 60 yet.
What would you think of Billy Donovan out of Chicago? Because he's not going to last long there, right? Go back to college.
They're actually playing pretty well.
So you don't think he's going to get fired then?
I don't. And I think Billy Donovan would be an excellent choice.
By
the way, if Danny Hurley wins tonight, it'll be the first time since Billy Donovan that a team has gone back-to-back in the men's tournament. So I think let's have a moment of honesty. I think my Don Staley thing sounds good,
yeah.
And I would love to see him at least interview her because I think it moves the debate along. But I think they're going to end up with Jay Wright, Nate Oates, maybe Billy Donovan, somebody off that list.
Yeah.
I think he'll probably get it. But they got to move quick because all these kids are already picking schools. So I would think Kentucky's got to have a coach in place by next weekend.
Yeah.
Probably. I have an update real fast on Cubs fans.
Yeah.
So Sam Pines, the owner of Good Karma Brands.
Yeah.
He, or one of them, he is, or the owner of the station.
Yeah.
He is a massive, massive Cubs fan from Chicago.
Right.
He said, you're 100% right on Cubs fans.
They didn't like Madden.
Did not like Madden.
The weird thing is,
I'll take that W. I
know Sam and I know Joe. Those two would get along great.
yeah, they would.
Joe's just a great guy,
can
man.
Can I hear that little laugh again, Greg? That little...
He probably can't do it on spec.
I can't do it on... Yeah.
It was that. So good. It was sort of like...
it needs to come out. Just in.
Let's try it one more time.
I'm trying.
All right. Something came to an end last night. That is heartbreaking.
Oh,
heartbreaking.
I know.
And we'll get into it next. You got something to read over there?
Yeah, what if I told you that Mason and Ireland...
What if I told you? I haven't heard that.
What if I told you? Mason and Ireland and Sedano and Cap that are going... if you listen to us this week, you can win a 4-pack of tickets to a night you will never forget. This Friday at the Egyptian Theater in Hollywood is the 30 for 30 15th anniversary panel. As part of the inaugural year of This Is Not Fiction, the American...
I would actually go to this if I wasn't in Memphis.
Cool, right?
Yeah.
The American Cinematique... I don't know how to say that word, is thrilled to celebrate the 15th anniversary for the incredibly successful sports documentary film series, 30 for 30. A Night to Remember happens this Friday night, and we've got your chance to win this week listening to 710 ESPN.
All right, coming up next, the end of an era.
Oh, my God.
Momo in for Mason in Ireland, ESPN LA.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Now, let's talk about the play of the week. The pressure to follow up Hypnotic and Cognac, weighing heavy on the team. Hypnotic was in the cup, blue, and ready for the play. And, boom! Añejo Tequila came in with a smooth assist to Hypnotic's tropical fruit finish. Shaken, strained, poured. It was green and good! playmaking splash shifted the tempo. Another great cocktail from the Hypnotic team. Every season is Hypnotic and tequila season. Hypnotic Liqueur, Bardstown, Kentucky, 17% alcohol by volume. Hypnotic reminds you to think wisely, drink wisely.
All right, Mason in Ireland. Momo is in for Mace. And, it's a sad ending, but last night was the final episode of Curb Your Enthusiasm.
Please, no spoiler. I didn't watch it.
So they say.
Okay. Yeah. Do you believe it? That
right now I believe it, but I think everything comes back. Like, in 2 years or 3 years, if they just feel like doing it, they could do it. They could do more.
Right. To me, it's a top five comedy of all time. And it was Seinfeld on steroids. And what they did, Greg, this won't spoil anything, but they tried to recreate the Seinfeld finale.
Yeah.
And it was almost like Larry, so many people ripped him for the Seinfeld finale that he took the same concept and executed it as the finale of Curb. And it kind of worked for me. I liked it.
I thought it worked. I didn't even remember the Seinfeld finale. Like, I forgot what was in it, you know?
How could you forget that?
What was the Seinfeld
finale? Well, Greg,
finale?
When you watch this, you're going to go, oh,
tell me what the Seinfeld finale was.
They all got, the four of them, Kramer, Elaine, George, and Jerry, were arrested for violating the Good Samaritan law.
Okay.
And they ended up in court in this small town in Connecticut.
Okay.
And in order to prove that these people were, like, irredeemable, they brought back everybody from the whole history of the show.
Like, this is your life.
And put them on the stand to explain why Jerry, Kramer, George, and Elaine were bad people.
Right.
So the same thing, Greg, will play out at the end of Curb.
Fine.
It's like all the people over the years that have been on the show come back to explain that Larry is irredeemable. Yep.
I get it. I'm sure it'll still be funny even if I kind of know.
Yeah, but I think that, to me, Curb will always be the show where he did everything that he couldn't do on Seinfeld because Seinfeld wasn't on HBO, wasn't on cable, and just did it on steroids.
Oh, yeah.
But I love Curb. I thought he just killed it. It was 14 seasons.
Wow.
And you know what I think kept it alive and saved it? Is 6 years in, he brought in J.B. Smoove.
Yeah.
And he brought in Leon.
He is so good.
And he's such a good, you know, he basically divorced Cheryl and his partner in crime became Leon.
Right.
And Leon was so inappropriate and
he's so funny.
That it completely worked for me.
There was a scene in last night that was just so inappropriate and so funny. It was so good.
I thought it was, I'll be anxious to see what you think of it, Bergman, after you watch it. But I thought the Curb finale was pretty good.
I honestly just forgot that it was on last night. So I'll watch it tonight and I'll give you my 2 cents.
All right. So I saw this story and at first I thought it was a joke, but apparently it's not. So if you own property in New York, apparently it is not uncommon for pigeons to poop on your deck or your balcony or whatever.
Yeah, that sounds right.
So the city decided that landlords are going to be responsible for cleaning up that poop. And if you don't clean it up, you get a summons. Last year, they issued 295 of them.
Wow.
Who failed to clean up unsanitary pigeon conditions compared to 228 tickets in 2022. So here's the question. You get a fine for not cleaning up pigeon poop. You paying it?
I mean, is it like the equivalent of not doing the brush clearance here?
Here's how it works. Property owners are typically first handed a commissioner's order allowing 5 days to clean up the mess before a follow-up inspection or risk being slammed with a $1,000 fine.
Wow.
So you get this commissioner's order. Clean up the pigeon poop.
It's not that easy. How do you handle it? It's not that easy, right? Like, you got to go out on the balcony and do that.
You need like a power washer,
right?
Yeah,
but like, you can't just, like, if you're down below, you can't just spray wash it. Like, you got to get somebody up on top of the building to do that. I think it's going to cost you more than $1,000 to get someone out on the building to pressure wash it.
Right. A councilwoman says property owners ignoring pigeon poop is a big problem in her district. It's unhealthy, unsightly, and has a direct negative impact on New Yorkers' quality of life. Really? Pigeon poop is a thing?
I mean, it's a thing, but then find the pigeons, because that's, we're going to get money from them better, more than you're getting from those people.
Good luck.
Yeah, good luck. You're not getting any money out of me for not cleaning up pigeon poop. Yeah,
so no one chance. Guy named David Rose, who lives in the Bronx, ripped the $1,000 summons he received on February 8th as unfair and unnecessary, especially since more serious issues like rat infestation only carry $300 fines.
Really?
So who do you side with? The city or the residents when it comes to cleaning up the pigeon poop?
Okay. This is going to be an unpopular take here.
Oh, no.
I side with the city.
You want people to clean up that poop?
Boo, hiss.
No, you got to clean up the poop. Like here's the thing. We're all in this together, right? Like, mm-hmm. When you live in a city like New York, one of the things that I've lived in New York, okay?
I was just in New York. I didn't see any pigeon poop.
Well, you probably weren't, like, going up in the residential areas where it...
Right.
You know, because the skyscrapers, they all have people who clean them, the window washers.
Yeah.
But think about, like, if you don't stay ahead of things, then it gets worse. And the thing about poop is, like, they're just going to keep pooping. Like, you can clean it once,
right,
and they're going to come back and keep pooping. Like, you know, this is something you got to keep up, right?
Yeah, if I get a $1,000 fine for pigeon poop, I don't think I'm paying it.
No. Momo, do you side with the HOA when your hedges are 1 inch too high?
No, it's different. Poop is different than how the hedges look. Like, poop is just gross. Like,
1 inch too high, that's it, $1,000 fine.
Like, to me, it's, you got to clean up pigeon poop because, like, you're walking by. Like, it's always going to keep happening, and everybody has to just decide this is just not something we want to live in, a city full of pigeon poop. Like, this is, like, New York, they have certain rules that, do you know that you can't sleep in the park in New York?
No.
I learned this firsthand.
Why, you tried to sleep in the
park?
Yeah,
I took a red eye, and I landed in my hotel room, wasn't ready.
So you went out to the park?
So I went out to the park, and I went on the bench, and this cop woke me up and was like, you can't sleep here, ma'am. And I was like, oh, okay.
Never knew.
That's the thing. Like, but that's kind of how they keep New York from, when you live in such a small city, like when you walk around New York, everybody's jammed in there. So, like, everybody has to take care of their own area. Like, you can't just let one area be full of pigeon poop. Everybody's got to make this a priority.
So my apartment complex, there's certain places, I mean, certain apartments that have balconies, right? And we all got a letter, because I don't have a balcony, but all of us got a letter saying, like, if your balcony doesn't look nice, neat, and clean, and if there is any bird poop or any animal feces, whatever, because I have dogs, whatever, you will get fined. And then the fine wasn't $1,000. I think it was like $500, but that's still a steep fine. And I was like, who's really going to pay that? And my neighbor, who does have a balcony and has a dog, she goes, I had to pay it. Like, my dog goes and does his business,
like,
out there.
Really? Like, everybody's in there in this together. Like, you can't just have, like, your yard be gross. All, like, right, you can't, you know.
Moral of this story seems to be clean up your poop. all right. Coming up next, how far would you go to protect your sponsors?
Oh.
Somebody tonight at the national championship game in Phoenix has gone above and beyond to protect a couple of sponsors. We'll have that story for you. And do you like to have a cocktail when you go to the movies? Beer, wine, anything else? There's one famous actor who says, alcohol and movies don't mix. We'll get into that next. Mason and Ireland, ESPN LA.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPN pods. That's amazon.com/ESPN pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
right before you get to whatever you're going to get to, John, Joe Jr. Shabadoo tweets and says, Ramona siding with the city tells me she was the kid in high school that would remind the teacher she forgot to collect the homework.
I don't understand where you got the 2X. Right. We were out. He was going to release us to go home, and you asked a question.
Was that you, Gorbachev?
No, okay. It wasn't. I'm not like a total narc. I'm not. I just don't like pigeon poop.
Right.
And I like our city to be cleanly.
Oh, by the way, Greg.
Like, I think it's everybody's responsibility to keep the city clean.
When you watch Curb, there will be a scene in Curb that will totally remind you of Steve Mason.
I can't wait.
Larry and Leon are driving, and like me, they're late mergers.
Oh, my God,
Allison Janney is driving in her car. Allison Janney is dating Richard Lewis in this episode, and she's driving her car, and she's like Mason. She will not allow anybody to merge in.
Oh, no.
And they're like, hey, let us in. And she's like, nope, flips them like total Mason. Like,
so great.
Yeah, so
he
that.
Really, he would like get in a wreck to prevent someone
he
from
says he
cutting
will,
in.
He will tailgate the person in front of him before he will allow me to merge late.
Wow.
Yeah, he hates late mergers.
Ridiculous.
I not only allow late mergers because I am one.
Me too.
I think that's the best way to go.
Me too. It I is. Think it takes longer if you don't do it.
Yeah. So this scene will totally remind you
so
of
good.
Mason.
Early mergers create traffic.
Yep.
Agreed.
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 Yeah. So Mason's the only early merger among us.
And I think they just feel so superior. Like, I'm some moral high ground because they're early mergers.
Yeah. And all that does is slow everybody else down. All right. So tonight, and we have this game for you on ESPN LA. UConn going for their second consecutive men's basketball title, taking on Purdue. Game starts at 5. Sedano and Cap are going to do an hour leading up to the game at 5. So it's going to be played at State Farm Stadium in Phoenix. Now, official corporate sponsors of the NCAA include Buick and Nissan. All right. They pay big money.
Yeah.
Ford is not an NCAA corporate sponsor, but inside the stadium, every cup holder, more than 60,000 seats, has a Ford logo on it. So look what they did. They basically went through the stadium and on every seat.
Oh my gosh.
Every single seat. They removed the Ford logo by putting a piece of black electrical tape over it.
Wow.
They made some people, made stadium workers, take 61,000 strips of black tape to cover up Ford.
Wow.
So Buick and Nissan wouldn't be mad. Is that doing a great service for your sponsors or just a ridiculous example of overmanaging something?
Yeah, overmanaging. That's ridiculous.
Greg, what do you think?
No, absolutely not. That's the exact right thing to do.
Brian?
Wow, so
I think
corporate.
If I was sitting there and I saw the tape, I would say, this looks a little tacky. So I think that is kind of overmanaging.
But Laura? It's black on there. I think it works.
Personally, I think that's great because you're protecting your sponsors. They paid a lot of money,
100%.
And the people that were doing it got paid. So
absolutely.
I'm going to tell you a story I don't think I've ever told before. Greg, there may be two left that I've never told before ever.
Hey, keep them coming.
my job in college was I worked at Anheuser-Busch. I was the campus rep for Budweiser, but like greatest college job you can possibly
have. Were you 21 for this?
Yeah, right when I worked in the warehouse.
Okay.
The summer before I turned 21, then when I turned 21, I worked in the marketing department.
All right.
And so I went to a party during the Olympics, and all my bosses were there. And one of the bosses went to the bar to get a beer, and they only had Miller Lite and Coors. They didn't have any Bud. So he said, he asked for a Budweiser first. They didn't give it. He goes, just give me a Miller Lite. His boss walked in, saw him drinking a Miller Lite at the party, and fired him on the spot. Corporate loyalty is a really big deal. Like if we had Tommy Lamb or any of our, even Morales, anybody that deals with our partners here, what they would tell you is your partners are what matter. If Nissan and Buick are going to notice that it says Ford and maybe one of them did, and says something, you get rid of that Ford or risk losing the part. It is, for whatever reason, to me, I'm with you, Ramona. When I first saw this story, I went, wow, really? You're going to get 60,000 pieces of tape and make somebody do that? And then I remembered that story about that guy getting fired. Corporate loyalty is a huge deal to people that are in charge of brands.
Let's say that we're at the Mandy's, right?
Yeah.
It's at Commerce Casino. They are our partner. We are going to be putting ESPN LA everywhere. Let's say in the area that we were there, the chairs were bought from 570 or whatever, and it had AM 570 on there. While you're at doing a award show for 710, it says AM 570 everywhere.
We would cover them up.
We'd cover them
up.
100%.
We would make our road dogs take as much tape as they needed, and we would cover it up.
Exactly.
It doesn't make sense. Ramona, I had the exact same reaction that you did, that, wow, this is too much. Or even, Brian, what you notice, you know, piece of tape, it looks a little tacky. I think to the people at Buick and Nissan, they appreciate the fact that the NCAA took care of them. Said they didn't have to do that, but they covered up 60,000 Ford things, And so tonight you will not see the word Ford anywhere in that stadium.
I bet they paid a lot of money to whoever owns the stadium.
Of course they did. So that
supersedes, I guess, the NCAA.
Well, here, I'll give you another example of this. Do you guys remember the Redeem team, the one that came back and got the gold medal at the Olympics? It had LeBron and Wade and Kobe. And so a bunch of those guys were Nike guys.
Yeah.
But Reebok paid to sponsor all of the Olympic athletes. They were wearing Reebok sweatshirts.
Okay.
And the deal they had with the USOC was anybody receiving a medal on the medal stand has to wear the Reebok sweatshirt.
Okay.
So if you competed for any team, swimming,
whatever,
you had to wear the Reebok because they paid for it. LeBron came out from the beginning and said, Nike is like my dad. I'm not going against my dad. Kobe said the same. That's back when Kobe was a Nike, Wade, all those guys. They said, we're not doing it. And then the Olympic Committee came out and said, you are doing it or you're off the team.
Wow.
So you know what they did?
Huh.
You can go back and find pictures of this. They put the sweatsuit on that had the Reebok logo, and they all took white towels and put them around their necks to cover up the logo.
Jeez.
Because they couldn't. That's how insane these little corporate tug of wars are.
Wow.
It's a huge deal to people that are, and like, I remember now that NIL is here for college.
Yeah.
You have college coaches for years have been had shoe deals. Like every Mick Cronin has a shoe deal and everybody at UCLA wears the Jordan brand shoes. If somebody else cuts an NIL deal with Adidas, now you got to let him wear the Adidas because he's got an NIL deal.
Oh.
So it's a whole new world out there, but I understand why they covered up all this stuff with the tape. It's a big deal to people that work at those companies. All right, coming up next, what's up, fool? We'll get Laura in here, get Brian in here, get Greg in here. They'll throw a bunch of stuff at us. Mason in Ireland, Momo in for Mace, ESPN LA.
Thanks, Morales. All right, I got to do a little Bronny James talk here for a minute. So Shams Charania put this out. He said, when I talk to NBA teams, there's a clear consensus that as a defender, he's already at that caliber of an NBA defender. Is that going to change people's thought process on actually drafting Bronny?
The thing that you got to remember about Bronny is the kid you see now is not the player he's going to be 2-3 years from now. You would be drafting potential if you drafted him, or if he doesn't get drafted, invited him into camp. I think he jumps out of the gym. He's freaky athletic. I've seen worse players in the NBA than Bronny James, Momo. So I think he's going to get, and just because of his last name, he'll get invited to go to a camp. I don't know if he can stick on an NBA roster, but I think he can be competitive in the G League and give a chance and get a chance to show what he can do.
It's going to be really interesting because for a long time, LeBron maintained that he wanted to play with Bronny. And the rhetoric has changed a bit, which is that he wants to be on the same court as Bronny.
Okay.
In other words, he just wants to be in the league at the same time as him, not necessarily the same team. Well, I thought that gives up a bit of leverage, right? Because I thought Bronny's best leverage to getting drafted or getting on a team was like, well, if you draft Bronny, maybe LeBron will come play for you.
Right.
I don't I'm not getting that sense right now. I think he goes test the water. I think he goes, works out for teams, goes to the pre-draft camp, gets a, you know, if somebody promises him, that's what teams do. They'll give you a promise. We'll draft you if you fall to us here. If he gets a promise from the right organization, then I think he stays in the draft. If he doesn't, I think he goes back and transfers someplace.
All right, Greg, I said this on Friday, and I'll say it again. Don't rule this out. Eric Musselman, the guy that USC just hired to be the head coach, could sell ice to Eskimos. Yep. He's super impressive in person. I think he might line up an NIL deal for Bronny, get him $2-3 million, talk him into playing one more year at SC. I would not be shocked at all if that happens.
So he entered the transfer portal as well.
Right.
So
doesn't mean you have to go.
No, he can pull out. Absolutely. But why wouldn't you? Let's say you're Charlotte. Why wouldn't you use a second-round pick on Bronny James
and hope
that you can get LeBron to go over there to play with him and then sell tickets, sell merch, sell everything? You make your money back immediately if you somehow get LeBron to go over there.
I don't think LeBron would go play in Charlotte.
I don't either.
I think LeBron's all about trying to play with other great players like AD and win titles, and I think that if he goes to another team— it would be a team with a chance to win a ring. I don't think he's going to Charlotte.
It's more so than playing with your son. Because if he could play with him, because then
I go back to what Ramona said. He used to say he wanted to play with him. Now he just wants to be on the same court as him. I think one guy's winding down his career. The other guy's just starting. I don't think it's going to be a deal breaker.
Well, it's also playing on the Lakers may not be the best thing for Bronny.
Right.
In his development. He might be better served on a young team like Charlotte where he would get some run. And he'd have a longer window without all the pressure.
Yeah, but if the Lakers do draft him, put him 15th on the bench instead of Colin Castleton or, you know, Maxwell Lewis, who were first-round pick for Maxwell Lewis, but that 15th spot is not the biggest deal in the world.
Nope.
It's a two-way player.
Yep.
I don't think it's out of the realm of possibility
either
the Lakers do that.
Yeah, either do I.
Possibly. What's up, fool?
All right, guys, so a former MLB baseball player, J.J. Hardy, is in the news in Arizona, Chandler, Arizona, because of his backyard plans for his house.
Okay.
So a bunch of his neighbors, surrounding neighbors, have complained and signed a petition because he is building a miniature field of dreams, a miniature baseball field in his backyard.
Okay.
The initial pictures look pretty sick, but the thing that they had a problem with is he put up like 5 or 6 20-foot poles and either
so
to
you
put
can play
lights,
at night.
And then he's going to put a net up too. So obviously, no balls are leaving the field.
Right.
All the neighbors seem to be complaining. There's even like, oh, this isn't a top golf. I've been living here for 20 years. Like, what is going on? I think this is a missed opportunity. If I'm his neighbor, this is the coolest thing that can happen is a miniature field of dreams in my neighbor's backyard. Would you agree with that?
I would have to see how it affects the view of the neighbors who are complaining. Like, but in Phoenix, there isn't a view of very much, you know? But I agree. As long as he'd let me come over and play every once in a while, I'd be okay with it.
I'm a no on that one. I think it's like...
You have two boys. You wouldn't want them to go
cool,
over there and play?
Like, what is this going to be used for? It's like not zone. I mean, is it zoned for this? Is this like a neighborhood? Is this...
It's all in his backyard.
Are they
going
to have like tournaments here? And then now I'm going to deal with everybody. It's like, you know, when you move to a neighborhood, you don't want to live near right next to a school because then you're going to have school traffic every day.
That was the main person who led the complaint was like her whole thing was we didn't sign up to live next to Topgolf.
Yeah.
Like there's not a people coming and going kind of a thing.
Yeah.
I'd have to see. I'd need pictures or maybe like to see videos of it. But my initial response is I'd be okay with it. You're the opposite.
Yeah, I guess I'm like get off my lawn person. I mean, between me and that and the pigeon poop, I'm all
there you
like,
go. All right.
No fun league, you know.
What's up, foo?
All right, guys. I actually just sent you a text message because there's rumors circulating that this is a logo that for Victor Wembanyama.
Oh, it's so cool.
For his shoe. And I wanted to know your thoughts on it. I think it looks super dope. I just showed Greg and he was like, yeah. But on top of your thoughts on this, I also wanted to know what your logo to your shoe would be.
Well, mine would be easy. It'd be a four-leaf clover because I'm Irish. But this looks like an alien.
It's so cool.
It looks
and, you know,
cool.
That's what very LeBron cool. called Wemby. Is he's an alien. I love this.
I think Wemby is like every time I see Wemby highlights, I'm like, unbelievable. Do you think he should be Defensive Player of the Year?
I do.
You do?
I do.
I think
he affects more shots than anybody in the league.
I know.
I saw Rudy Gobert play last night. He's great, but he's not Wemby.
No.
Yeah, I would. I mean, only one other rookie has ever won Defensive Player of the Year. You know who it is?
Tim Duncan?
Nope.
Who?
Manute Bol.
Wow. Okay.
That's it. But yeah, I would vote for him. I don't think he's going to win. I think it'll probably go to Gobert, but because Minnesota's in first place.
Yeah.
But I love Wembanyama. I think he's going to be the face of the league for 20 years. And Laura, I love that alien looking logo.
So
I think it's
cool.
Great.
Oh yeah, I loved it when I saw it. I was like, I want those shoes.
What's up, foo?
All right, guys, so yesterday was the 31st anniversary of my favorite sports movie of all time, The Sandlot. I think it's iconic, especially what it did for just the kids and baseball kind of thing.
Right. Have you ever talked to Lindsay about this?
I think
her favorite movie, too.
Okay, nice. How can you not love it, first of all?
Great movie.
But what would your most iconic sports movie be in your eyes?
Oh, that's a great question.
I mean, I always go with Bull Durham. That's my jam.
Bull Durham is the best baseball movie of all time.
It is.
Because I'm a basketball nut, I would probably go Hoosiers.
Yeah, I love Hoosiers.
But it could be... I love all the Ron Shelton movies. I love Tin Cup. I love Bull Durham.
Yeah.
I think those are all good.
What was the one with
Denzel
Washington?
Rocky is technically a sports movie.
Oh, yeah.
Remember the Titans?
Remember the Titans is really
great. Yeah. You know what's a really, really underrated movie is Cinderella Man. Have you guys ever seen that?
I don't think I have, actually.
Yeah, with Ron Howard did it. Paul Giamatti won an Oscar for playing Russell Crowe's manager. It's about a guy. It's a true story about a guy who fights Gentleman Jim Braddock, who is in the Depression. He's working on the docks because he can't find work, can't find a job. And then he works his way out of poverty and becomes the heavyweight champ. And it's really good.
What about Moneyball? Is that up there?
Yeah, that's good.
Yeah, it's good.
It's a fantastic movie. But yeah, Sandlot is the best movie of all sports movies.
No.
Lindsay is absolutely amazing.
Bad
it's
news,
amazing.
Bad News Bears is better than Sandlot.
No,
so is
it's great. Both great movies.
Bull Durham.
So is Bull Durham.
Major League.
Yeah.
I love
depends
Major
on what
League.
Yeah, Major League. If you want like funny, it depends on what you're looking for. If you want a more serious, you go with like a Remember the Titans or Hoosiers. But if you want funnier, I think it's definitely Sandlot. Amazing movie.
Yeah, maybe even more of a family. You know, family
I love
sports
the Sandlot.
Movie.
Yeah, it's a great movie.
What's up, foo?
All right, guys, so this weekend was action-packed. A lot of things are going on, right? The NCAA, Lakers. But something that I haven't been excited for happened this weekend, WrestleMania. I have not seen it in a long time, but I caught myself watching it, and I was like, where have I been? I feel like with The Rock coming back and having like The Undertaker be a part of it, I was glued in. Did you guys catch any of it?
A moment of honesty. Have never watched I'm not a wrestling guy, so I've never watched WrestleMania. But boy, the reviews last night.
Great.
I have a lot of friends who love wrestling. They said this was as good of a WrestleMania.
So tell me what happened.
As ever. Michael will be here tomorrow. And I'm sure Michael's watched all of it. But just because it's scripted doesn't mean it's bad. It can still be entertaining.
I stopped watching as soon as I found out it was fake.
I mean, it is, but it's kind of fun.
It is fun.
Yeah.
Ronda Rousey was in it, right? The Rock was there.
Tomorrow when Michael's here.
Okay, I'll bring it back up.
He loves wrestling, and he'll have an opinion on it.
By the way, Nevin's mad that we didn't go with Rocky for the sports movie.
Well, it's probably the most decorated sports movie
of all time. It won some Academy Awards
time.
And stuff.
Best picture.
Yeah.
But Rocky IV is the best of the Rockies, no?
No.
Rocky 1.
Rocky 1 is a good one. It's just because the first doesn't always mean it's the best.
Yeah, but Rocky 1's really, really good.
It is. Rocky 4 is so good.
The Rocky 4 is the one with Ivan Drago.
Yeah.
Yeah, I love
that
movie. I
will break you.
Yeah, that was really good, too.
If he dies, he dies.
All right.
See? Right? Iconic.
Yeah. I'll work. Did anybody else get any more? We did. All right, we're good. Okay, coming up next, I'll get to that story about do alcohol and going to the movies mix, and...
It's just
going to
make me fall asleep.
Major League Baseball, that's part of this guy's argument.
Yeah.
Major League Baseball did something really stupid. They've been so good with the new rules and everything they've implemented over the past couple of years. Took a big step back over the weekend with something that involves the Angels. We'll share that with you. Coming up next, Momo. In for Mace, I'm John Ireland, ESPN LA.